I would say to every single high school entrepreneur, you are one decision away from absolutely changing your life, and don't let people who don't know what they're talking about discourage you.
Welcome to Future Titans, where we spotlight remarkable middle and high school entrepreneurs building real businesses that solve real problems. Every founder we speak to has received a $1,000 Formidable Fellowship grant. It's not equity, it's not debt, just a bit of inspiration capital to say keep doing what you're doing. If you're a student entrepreneur, we'd love to support you too. Just visit formidablefellowship.org to apply for a grant. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you believe in empowering young builders, consider supporting our mission. All contributions are tax deductible. Now on to the conversation. All right. Hey, everybody. We have a special treat today. It's actually not a Formidable Fellowship grantee. It's a successful entrepreneur who applied, but he's already in college. So he didn't sort of meet our requirements, but we were so impressed with what he'd built that we were like, hey, we got to have you on the pod. So I have Keller Westman here. Keller, why don't you introduce yourself, you know, where you're from, where you go to school, and what your business is.
Yeah, well, first of all, I really appreciate the opportunity to be on this podcast. I think it's very cool. And my name is Keller Westman. I'm from Highland Park, Illinois. It's about a half hour from Chicago. I'm currently a freshman at Michigan State University. When I was a junior in high school, you know, I never really liked the idea of working for someone. I played baseball. I had a very tough schedule, and it wouldn't really work for me to do that. So at the same time, I drove a pickup truck, and I was literally just broke. So I went on Facebook, and I was like, I just posted, hey, my name is Keller Westman. I'm a junior at Highland Park High School. I drive a pickup truck. I'm looking for ways to make money. I offer moving, junk removal, and anything that requires a pickup truck. Text me at 847-444-9657. And I posted that in, I think, 5 to 10 Facebook groups. And it, you know, it just totally blew up from the start. I mean, 2 hours after my first post, I was on my first job. And then after that, I went right to my second. And I guess pretty much since then, it's just been very consistent growth. And, you know, at the point right now, obviously, you know, I'm a student at Michigan State. I have two full-time crews who man all of the, like, the labor that we do for our job. So I handle all the scheduling, advertising, you know, taxes, all the behind-the-scenes stuff from school.
So, Keller, walk us through the growth of the business and what you're expecting to do this year.
Sounds good. Yeah. So in our first full year, from January of 2023 to December of the same year, we did around $40,000 in sales. In our second year, we did just south of 100 grand in sales. And I believe that in 2025, we could hit the 150 to 175 mark.
Okay. Unbelievable growth. So Keller, walk us through the business. You know, I heard junk removal and moving. Has it always been both, or where did it start?
So it's always been both. The reason for that is just because I thought those were two services I could offer. I never really kind of realized that they do go hand in hand. But, you know, from doing all the jobs that we've done, I've kind of realized that a lot of, you know, when you're moving, you're not just throwing, you're not always taking everything with you. You know, you have some things that you want to move with you, of course, some things you want to throw away, some things you want to donate, some things you want to sell. And so what I believe differentiates us from our competition is the fact that we can go into a house and we can do all those services. You know, we could walk in for an in-person estimate, give an estimate on moving, and then junk removal, talk about donations and selling, as opposed to, you know, if you go with a bigger moving company, you know, they might not offer junk removal. So then you're left with finding another junk removal company and selling everything yourself. So I guess, you know, to answer your question, it's always been moving and junk removal. And then we've just kind of picked up some other services that go along with that, you know, okay, services that clients need.
Got it. And, you know, you mentioned it sort of took off like wildfire right from your first post.
Yeah.
Was there something in your first post? Was it like, you know, did you have a good video of you, or like, what was it? What made that so compelling? I'm just curious. Do you think there was something that made it like so enticing?
I think what made it enticing was, first of all, I mean, it was very well written. Like, it was very punctual. Obviously, it was short. It was concise. I added some pictures of it. I introduced myself and offered the services, you know, pretty easily. But a lot of people really liked the fact that I was a high schooler. You know, they respected the hustle, and a lot of them were always like, yeah, you know what? I'd rather hire this kid than a big company. I want to give him the business. So I think that, and then the fact that not many people, like, if you just want to move a couch, you know, you wouldn't hire a big moving company, and nobody would, you know, there were always people on Facebook asking, you know, what they should do. And I think providing that kind of niche service as a high schooler really was what took us off.
Okay, cool. I think you hit on something really important, which I just want to emphasize, is that, like, your youth is a superpower.
Absolutely. Right?
I think actually, like, a lot of young people are like, oh man, like, why would they buy from me? I'm just a student. And like, it's actually the exact opposite. Like, every adult is rooting for you, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least the good ones are. And that's most of us, right? Like,
Exactly.
We look at Keller and we see ourselves in Keller. And we're like,
Right.
oh yeah, I had a hustle back then, or I wish I had a hustle. And we admire you. And so I think, like, that's huge that you hit upon that. And then the fact that, you know, not everybody's moving a house all the time. Sometimes they just need to get rid of something else was a really
Right.
good insight. So that's smart. How long,
Thank you.
you mentioned when, you know, I think before we started filming, you said, you know, you have crews now, but in the
Yeah.
beginning, it's just you and your pickup truck, I imagine,
Pretty much,
right?
yeah.
And so how long was it just you doing jobs, and maybe you were getting a buddy or two to come along and giving them something? Like, how long was it just you hustling by yourself?
So up until about around January of 2024, it was pretty much me on every single job. You know, if there was something, you know, I would just take one of my friends if I needed to, we'd go out and do it. And then, you know, obviously I kind of got to the point, I was like, all right, like, I'm probably going to college. So I'm going to need, and this business is too big. It can't just like disappear. So I'm going to need to figure this out. So that's, yeah, around January is when I started talking to the people who work for me now. And then, you know, slowly but surely, I started sending out, I took them on a bunch of my jobs. I taught them every single thing about the business. And then when I thought they were ready, which was starting in May of 2024, I was sending them on jobs all week long. I mean, they were out doing the same exact stuff that I was doing. And then it really prepared them for me to leave because, you know, they got all the experience. If there was something they really needed, I was always able to go out and give that to them since I was at home. But, you know, they kind of graduated from that and they've done a very good job.
And where were you finding talent to do, you know, to be in these crews?
So there were actually some kids who had reached, both my main crews right now are high school students, and, you know, they were both very inspired by like my business. And they both drive pickup trucks too. And they were like, you know, I want to do the exact same thing. And I was like, okay, like, you know what? I mean, I'm going to college. I'd love to train you and have you on my team. And I guess from there, we just kind of went through everything and, you know, here they are, they're working.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, I think this is what Keller's done here, just to take a detour, just a little bit of a digression, is like, he's no longer working in the business, he's working on the business, right?
Right.
And so you realized was like, in order to scale this, which you wanted to do, you had to figure out how to build a team. And then,
right,
you know, you kind of found people who probably like sort of were like you, right? They were high schoolers. Were they kind of on athletes generally?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Really, really smart. Okay. So you,
Thank
so
you.
You do that. That's January. So for about 15 months, you're grinding, doing this solo, it sounds like. And so
yeah, pretty much.
How much time is this taking per week? You know, if you can remember back to high school now, like, how much time are you spending per week on the business versus school versus all your other obligations?
Yeah. So pretty much, I guess, yeah. So my senior year, I mean, school, I would, from when I show up to when I leave, that's all the school I would do. And then pretty much every single day, one of my friends would come with me after school. We'd go out and work. And then after that, just pretty much go home and we're done. I mean, we'd probably work from around whenever school got out, so around 3 p.m. to, I don't know, 7 or 8. We'd probably do anywhere between one big job or five small jobs and then do it all again the next day. And, you know, it even got to a point in school where, like, I was having my mom call me out, like, several times a week to go out and do jobs in the middle of the day. I would have my friends' moms call them out. Like, we would do all this stuff. We do work before school. Like, it was pretty much whenever we weren't in school, we were working. And so it kept us very busy. I mean, it's very close. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. And then weekends
yeah.
as well?
Oh, yeah. Weekends were super busy.
Okay.
Super busy. Because that's when we would do the bigger jobs that, you know, couldn't be done starting at like 4 p.m., you know.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. You know, again, I'm going to, because I think Keller's story is like, so there's so many lessons in it. You know, sometimes we'll hear from folks like, hey, I don't have the time. Like, you do have the time. Like, that's just,
of course,
you just got to make time for it. And I think, like, you know, you're busting your butt going, what, 3 to 8, 5, let's call it. So you're doing almost like 40 hours plus school.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were some weeks where definitely like that. And then a lot of, and I mean, 3 months after we started, we were doing long distance jobs. Like, we were 6 hours away in Michigan.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So that brings up an interesting point on pricing. How did you, and maybe your pricing, you learned from the beginning to now what it looks like, but walk me through, in the beginning, how did you come up with your pricing?
So my first few clients, knowing nothing about the industry, they would text me and I would just like they would be like, "I need a couch removed." And I'd be like, can I have $30 for that?" And they would say yes. And then from there, there would be times where the couch was upstairs or super heavy. So I started asking for pictures and, whether or not there were stairs and all that stuff that helped me price. But then, I guess it was just as simple as, I charged as low as I could start off. From there, I just slowly started more, charged more and more until it got to the point where we were too expensive. And then I just lowered the prices and I've applied that to every single job I've quoted.
Okay, so there's not like a, is it still kind of gut instinct or is there like a formula at this point?
There's not necessarily a formula. It's more just like, we've done so many jobs and I've gotten so many inquiries that I've kind of figured out just what will work best for us to charge and what makes us a reasonable company to hire.
Got it. Okay. And so did you ever look at competition there to see like what others charge? Like how did to see, you know, when you know, when you realized you were too high, was it because you realized the competition was just lower?
No, it was actually just because clients were just
Just
not
not.
hiring us because it was too expensive.
Got it. Okay.
But there's also been some times. So there's this app, Dolly. It's pretty much just like the DoorDash of exactly what we do. And if I ever had, trouble booking a job or I mean, sorry, quoting a job, I would go on the app. I would put the exact, I would pretty much just map out the job and they would give me a quote. And then a lot of times I would just charge lower than that. But I've only
Oh,
done that a handful of
smart.
times.
Okay. So you can almost use this other, this startup's pricing as a guide for yourself. And then are
Absolutely.
you guys on Dolly yourself or you not use
No.
it?
No, we do not work with Dolly or any of the lead generators. I just, I mean, when I was new to the business, I had a bunch of them calling me, and I probably would have gone with them. The only reason I didn't is because I wasn't 18 and they wouldn't, hire, like, let me go on their
Okay.
app.
Yeah.
But I'm very glad that I didn't because I've read a lot of reviews and a lot of companies don't really seem to like working with them. But no, all of our business comes from Facebook, Nextdoor, Instagram, Google, like pretty much every social media, LinkedIn.
Okay, got it. And so right now you have these crews. Does pricing still, you're still the determiner of pricing, or do your crews handle pricing?
So most of the time clients will ask for a quote before they hire us. And in that case, then I'm always pretty much the one giving the quote. I mean, if it's something bigger, if it's like kind of a unique job, then of course I'll ask them for their feedback because of course I want them to be happy with the pay. But then also there's some times when clients just don't ask for a quote. And then in that case, we just give them the quote at the end and they'd be in charge of that. But they've worked a ton of jobs, so they know how we quote and they've done a very good job at that.
Okay. So let's go back to, I should have asked this earlier, just to the beginning. You just posted this thing on social. It caught like wildfire. Why did you want to start a business in the first place?
Well, I just I don't know. I feel like I've just never like this is like my only work experience in my life. I drove for DoorDash when I was like 16 for a few months, but I don't know. I mean, I guess really what it was is just that I played travel baseball and like I was super super busy with that. And I mean, I never really thought that working at a job, would really work because I thought my schedule would just get in the way. So I wanted something that I could, create my own schedule and be my own boss. I wasn't a very good student, so I like being in charge and
Okay.
it just
And
kind of
did,
works for me.
yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, you have freedom. You get to, you know, you're captain of the ship, which is great. Did you grow up in a household that was entrepreneurial? Did you grow up around entrepreneurs?
So both of my parents, they actually met as teachers. And then after that, my dad was a principal and now he works for an educational software company. Up until I was in like 6th or 7th grade, my mom was also a teacher. But then around that time, she started her own educational consulting firm. So my mom's an entrepreneur and she has taught me so much about taxes and all of like the behind the scenes stuff. We work with the same accountant and insurance agent. So she was able to set me up with them. I mean, there's been a lot of times where I've just been so like I don't even know what to do. My mom's helped me to kind of just be like, Keller, listen, it's part of running a business. You're gonna be fine. And so yeah, I have.
Okay, that's great. And you mentioned you weren't a great student. How did your parents perceive, you know, you now running this business and spending all this time on the business? Did they view it as a distraction from school, or what was their view of it?
My parents have all I genuinely believe I have the best parents ever. They've always been super supportive of literally every single thing I've put my mind to. Before I started my business, like my grades like they were pretty bad. And so my parents would, but they've never been like crazy about grades. They're always just like, Keller, come on, like you're smarter than this and you know that. Just come on, just go to school, be good, get your work done. But at the same time, when I started my business, my parents just kind of they kind of just realize, they're like, all right, like he's mature, like we trust him to, you know, get his stuff done, and you know, it's really been a good, it's been a big help.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
My parents have always really trusted me.
Yeah, props to your parents.
Yeah, it's given me a lot of independence.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, I think when somebody listens to your story, they hear, you know, growth to just south of $100,000 in like basically 2 years, and this year you're going to do 175, let's call it. You know, and they're kind of like, oh, you know, Keller's just like this golden child. Like he just got, you know, he had it, and they get discouraged, I think. So I'm curious, like, if you could think through any obstacles or challenges that you've hit, because I imagine you've hit some pretty big speed bumps or obstacles, you know, what were those?
So obviously, you know, there's been a ton of learning experiences for me. I mean, I guess I've gotten myself into some weird situations. I mean, there's one job that comes to mind. This was actually almost a year after I started my business. I had this client. He texted me. He's like, yeah, I have this all this construction stuff to remove. My budget's $400. I was like, okay, sounds good. I'll do it. I ended up doing the job. It was like one of the biggest junk removal jobs I've ever done. It was all this like gravel and just super heavy stuff. And, you know, I rented a trailer for it. That was $50. And the dump fee was $300. But, you know, I charged $400. So I walked away with $50 after like 6 hours of work. And so I kind of just, that was a super big learning experience for me. Another one was, this is probably like one of the biggest learning experiences of my life. It was so, it was in November of 2023. My friend and I were out. We were moving a sleeper sofa from this, this condo building. And, you know, the sleeper sofa, like those are like, super hard to move. It was super hard getting it out the door. But anyway, we got it out the door of the condo. We got it downstairs to the lobby. We tried taking it out the front door and it wouldn't fit, but there was a garage door. So we moved it back and we put it in the garage. And, you know, I went to go back my truck into it. But the antenna on the top of my truck hit the garage door opener. Like it destroyed my antenna. And I was like, oh man, like, oh, come on. And, you know, I ended up getting it fixed. It wasn't that big of a deal. But the next day, I got a call from the client saying that her HOA was trying to charge her $4,000 for the damage to the garage door. And like, I was at school during this, like I literally turned white as a ghost. My friends were all like, Keller, what's going on? Like, I just like literally walked out of school. I went home. I just called my parents. I'm like, I'm coming home. I need help. And so, you know, what we did is we filed a claim with the insurance, and for whatever reason, they never followed through with it. Like the HOA, the client, they never contacted insurance. So it's just kind of like ended until June when we got a message from this lawyer saying that if we don't pay the $4,000, he's going to sue us. But we just kind of told him, we're like, listen, we filed the claim with the insurance. Like, this isn't in our hands anymore. And then, I mean, I guess that's the last I've heard of it, but yeah. Oh man, that was a learning experience. And that was before we were insured too. So that was,
oh wow. Okay.
That was, right.
That was rough. That's gotta be scary. Okay.
That was very scary.
Yeah. You mentioned your mom as being somebody who's, she's an entrepreneur, so she's been really helpful. I'm curious, like, where else have you learned about operating a business? Like, is it YouTube? Are there other mentors in your community that you've, you know, picked up stuff from? Like, where is all this knowledge coming from? Is it school?
I mean, no, it's not school. I'd say at least 95% of it has just been from doing it. Like, that's like my biggest takeaway. The way to learn is from doing. You know, I've read a lot of books on, you know, like finance and owning a business. But what I've kind of realized is that, you know, the books tell you what you need to learn and it's on you to go out and learn it. And I think the best way to learn is to actually do it. So I've learned pretty much every single thing about running a business from running a business.
Okay. All right. If you just heard that, go rewind and hear what Keller just said. Like, you learn by doing, you don't learn by thinking, you don't learn by reading, you learn by doing. I think that's phenomenal. In terms of business advice that you have received, you know, I imagine people see you, they're in, adults are hiring you and they're like, admire what you've built. Yeah. Have you received any business advice that you do feel has stuck?
Yeah, I guess once, like it was one of my first jobs ever from a great client who I'd honestly consider somewhat of a mentor now, because I still text him. I haven't worked with him in a little while, but I keep in touch. It's kind of small. He just told me like, yo, Keller, you got to watch out accepting all these Venmos. I mean, you know, if you're not an LLC and you're not paying taxes on all this stuff, then you're going to have to, you got to be careful. So that's something, obviously, I guess I learned. But I mean, my clients have taught me a lot just about, you know, just being reliable, being somebody that when they text you, they know they're going to get gold standard service no matter what. And I guess, yeah, that's something I've picked up on over time.
Yeah, you are in very clearly in the customer service business at the end of the day.
Absolutely,
The
yeah.
yeah. I think maybe the good news for you is that the general perception of movers and junk removal people is not very good, right? And so if you can build a brand and build a company that does good work, that shows up on time, you know, where the team is,
Absolutely.
you know, doesn't mess up your house when they walk through it, that's
Right.
fantastic. You mentioned school earlier as not being a place that you learned much about building a business. Like, I'd love your perceptions on school. You know,
Yeah.
what was good about it and what did you think it lacked?
Well, I guess just in school, everyone says this. I mean, it was obviously just boring, but I did have a lot of fun at school. I mean, like I said, I wasn't the best student and I would mess around a little bit, but I think the social aspect that schools provides is, you can't beat it. I've made so many friends like throughout my life from school, and I guess, that's absolutely my favorite part. I've really, that, I guess that's my biggest takeaway. I haven't really learned anything else.
All right, so school was good for the social aspect.
Yeah.
Maybe if you could reimagine school, what would it look like, right? Since the learning piece didn't really engage you, but you clearly still were able to build this awesome business. What would school reimagined look like?
Well, I think that there just needs to be, there's no point in learning chemistry and all that stuff unless you're going to be a chemist. Think about it. If you're going to be a welder, you go to welding school. So, like, and it's the same thing. If you want to be a plumber, you go to trade school. I don't really understand why we were all learning chemistry and math and all this stuff when, we're all going our separate ways. Like, if you want to be a chemist, then yeah, you should learn chemistry. I just think that it should be things that, I think there should be more taught, that more stuff taught that everyone can use. Stuff like, obviously, everyone says it's filing taxes, but starting a business, financial intelligence, how to be a good person, life skills, like changing a tire and stuff like that. I think that there could be a lot more, we could get a lot more use from that than, the stuff that's taught.
Okay. Yeah. So there's sort of this gap. I think we hear this a lot. Like, when will I ever use this? And school
Right.
never really answers that question, right? Because I mean, I could argue that lots of math, maybe not like calculus, but knowing math is really helpful for a business owner. But,
Yeah, I've kind of
you
learned
know,
that now.
but yeah, but if they don't
Yeah.
teach it to you, then, or don't show you how it could be useful, then that's a problem. You know, if it's all just like A squared plus B squared equals C squared, and you're like, okay, I
Yeah,
don't know
like.
when I'm going to use that. So Kelly, you talked about reading books, right,
Yeah.
earlier. Like, any books that you recommend or any authors that have been very helpful?
So my favorite author is Robert Kiyosaki. A book of his called Midas Touch really taught me a lot. I read it pretty recently. And I guess the main thing I learned is just that, you have to provide gold standard service if you want to be the best you can be. No, there, you can't cut corners. Like, at the end of the day, you can have all the issues in the world, but as long as your clients are happy returning and paying and referring you, then I really think that's the most important thing. And that's something I really took away from that book. And that's something I stress to my employees too.
Okay, that's great. So let's talk employees, right? When you're the guy doing the jobs, you know, you're the owner, you're the founder, you care the most, right? You're
Yeah.
going to be able to deliver that sort of gold standard of service. You now want to have other people have that same belief, right? And you're trying to
Right.
grow a crew. How is the process of hiring people and having them deliver the service gone?
Well, I'd say overall it's gone very well. I'm always receiving very good reviews from clients, whether it's Google or them texting me. They love our crews. And that is something I'm so beyond thankful for because, like I said, that's the most important thing to me. I want my clients to be happy because without clients, you're not a business. So clients love my crews. That's something I'm super thankful for. And, I'm glad. Yeah, that's pretty
Got
much all
it.
I've got.
And what have you learned, or what do you feel like you're still learning about sort of team and people management?
I think that I want to learn how to become more respected. I want people to take me seriously. I'd be lying if I'd said that this whole, being a boss of crews 250 miles away was easy. We've had our issues, but for the vast majority, they've all been internal, meaning like issues between my crews and I, whether it's just all kinds of random stuff. But yeah, as long as they're keeping the crews, so as long as they're keeping my clients happy, I can sleep, but I want to be more respected.
Okay. And what do you
Want them to
think?
take
I
it
mean, it's a
seriously.
really interesting point. Like, What do you think the challenge there is?
I mean, I really, it's hard for me to say because, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out because, I mean, but the challenge has just been, well, obviously, I hold my crews to a very high standard because I pay them very well. Like they're working, I mean, they're in high school and they're doing like a super big, important job. So obviously, I ask a lot out of them, but sometimes, some of the things I ask aren't met. Whether it's, because I connect all my crews in a text chat with the client and then, the crew leader, whether like I always have them respond and say, "Hey, my name is so and so. I look forward to meeting you." Sometimes they don't do that. It's issues with not reading the calendar correctly, or sometimes like showing up late, which is absolutely unacceptable. Showing up late is never good. I could go on, but I don't need to. But I guess it's just some of the little things. And
And right now you
yeah.
said how many crews do you have operating? Is it two and you want to grow it to four?
So right now we have two crews operating, and then I have a few prospects for crews that I want to start get working over the summer, but I also have there's this one guy he's helped me so much since the start of my business. Whether it's been with all the things like I mean he's like a real professional mover, and he's helped me move like some of the things that I never thought I could. And he's also been like he still lives in Chicago, so he's been running a crew too a little bit. But he's super busy. He might do like few jobs a week, but I'd really like to grow to four good, reliable crews, and hopefully crews that can work all day long and aren't restricted by school schedule.
And so walk me through pricing, right? So when it's just you doing it, it's kind of you're valuing your time, right? Now when you've got a crew on it, you have to pay them, you've got costs. So yeah, like what, do you have a, obviously the cost of the job varies based on the complexity of the job, but
Course.
what sort of margin are you going for? Do you have that figured out?
So when I'm personally working the jobs, I always try to make at least 50%. And usually when I'm working them, I make a lot more than that. I mean, bigger jobs is different, but we don't charge an hourly rate. That's just been something I've been against since the start of my business. I found it's more valuable for us and for clients for us to just quote each job individually as opposed to just slapping an hourly rate on it. But I guess when my crews are working, the price is it's pretty much the it's the same. Like they just make less of, if they were doing it fully themselves.
So, Keller, walk me through. You're at college now. You're running the business. It's outside of Chicago. Are you now operating in Michigan as well?
Yeah, so we're operating in the Lansing area, and we're operating in Chicago.
Okay. Are you back to doing jobs?
Yes, in
Okay.
Lansing, I'm doing jobs, and I've had
Okay.
a
All
lot of
right.
fun.
Okay. Nice. Nice. That's great. I love that you're keeping so close to the customer. Is finding crews the number one impediment to scaling, or is there something else that is
It's
the
absolutely finding crews.
it's finding crews? Okay. And so now how is customer acquisition working, right? I assume, I'm a junior in high school with a pickup truck. Posts aren't still the method of getting customers. What are you doing there?
So actually, my main Facebook post has changed very, very slightly to the first thing I ever posted. The only difference now is just say I'm a college student from Highland Park, Illinois, and I've added a bit, some more details. I've added I started a website for my business. I always add a link to that, and that's where a lot of our business comes from. And also, just about a year ago, we released our first commercial. There's this sophomore in high school who's like an incredible filmmaker. Like he blew my mind. He's so good at this stuff. And so we filmed the commercial for us. And since that dropped, our business has grown. We've done 2/3 of our sales since that first commercial dropped. And since then, we've dropped another four, and I have three in the making right now. So that has been the biggest way for us to get customers. I mean, they always say, they're like, "Listen, I saw your commercial. You guys are student owned. That's so cool. I totally wanted to use you guys. I'm glad I did."
Amazing. All right. So this is really interesting. So one, there's actually two parts to that. That first flyer that you put out on social media, or that first, post, you basically you said that works. I'm just going to keep milking that, and that one still keeps generating value. And then
Absolutely.
you have these commercials that you then, what do you post them on TikTok, Insta, like all the social channels, YouTube?
So no, I don't post them on TikTok or YouTube. It's pretty much just Instagram, Facebook, and Nextdoor. The reason that I think those have worked is because you know, when I post a commercial, like a lot of people, like the first time people were so blown out of the water by it, everyone was reposting it. And then all of their parents hired me because they saw it. They're like, oh, look at Keller. He's got this business. Like, yeah, I need, you know, it actually works out. I need that. So all the parents were hiring me and then they were referring me. I mean, I'd say like between just under half of our business is probably from word of mouth. And that's something I'm very, very happy with because it just makes my job easier, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's like the unbelievably low customer acquisition cost, which is great.
Yeah.
And then on Nextdoor, are you doing ads or is it all sort of organic placement?
It's all posts. So what I did was I joined every single neighborhood around me with that was active and I just posted in those neighborhoods all at once.
Okay.
And those commercials would get between 2,000 and 4,000 views
but
in 2 days.
But I thought you had to live in a neighborhood to post there. Or did you figure
out
a way
around? No, you
can
just join them. I figured out recently you can just join any neighborhood you want, pretty much.
All right. Amazing.
Everyone will see it. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And so you just go on there and say, hey, I'm Keller. I'm a freshman at Michigan State and off to the races.
So,
okay.
So in Chicago, I just say I'm a college student. When I'm here at Michigan State, I say I'm a freshman at Michigan State because I don't want people to think, oh, he's in Michigan. Why is he advertising?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so do you do any paid acquisition?
No. Aside from the commercials, that's the only thing the commercials are the only, that's the only money I've spent on advertising.
Okay, so you paid that sophomore for something for the commercials. Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
And have you played around with ads or like right now, if your demand, you know, went up by 50%, your challenge is you probably couldn't service that demand. Am I right?
Exactly. So to your point about ads, you know, to some capacity, and I hate to say this, but I could be doing so much more to get more jobs, but I just don't have the, I could not meet that demand right now. And that's why I'm so focused on getting more crews, because if I was spending all day advertising, running Google, Facebook, Nextdoor, all these ads, I seriously believe that we could grow so much more. It's just, I need to get crews.
Okay.
And until I do that, I can't keep on advertising.
Yeah.
Like
I mean, it's, you know, I know you don't, this probably doesn't make you feel better, but that's like a very high class problem. Right.
Absolutely. No, that's a problem I'm happy to have.
Most people don't have demand, right? And you have more demand than you can handle, which is great. So have you thought about, you know, you mentioned students, maybe, you know, their schedules are a little bit unpredictable. They're obviously busy from 8 to 3 or whatever it is per day.
Yeah.
Have you now started talking to sort of, we'll call them professional movers?
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And how's that gone?
So it's gone very well. You know, I've kind of like, so a few people I've had running jobs. I had one guy, he doesn't really work for me as much anymore, but you know, the older crew runners have been, they've been very good. Like, I've been very pleased with their work. They're very mature.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they've been in the business, so they kind of understand what they need to supply in order to keep customers happy. And so I'd say, yeah, right now I'm trying to look at getting more, I guess you could say, professionals to run crews for me.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And what do you think the value proposition, like what's the, why should they join you? Like, you know, what do you tell them? I'm curious.
So what I tell them is I like, cause so the main thing I look for is people who drive pickup trucks. And I'm like, listen, so you drive a pickup truck, my man, like you looking to make some money using it? Cause if you're interested, I'll train you on everything. You can work at your own hours. You choose whenever you want to work. And you get paid very well. So if you're interested, I'd love to have you on board.
Okay. Got it. All right. That's great. And so how do you find those people?
So right now it's pretty much, so I just started doing this thing. So I told like all of my friends and everyone I know who's from Chicago, I said, for every person that you can refer to me that I hire and they work for 6 months, I'll give you $500. So for example, if like my best friend finds somebody who works for me six months smoothly, my friend gets $500. So I told everyone about that. And people have just, you know, they've been telling me like, oh, my friend, he drives a truck. He's, you know, he might be interested. And so I'm really hoping that that's going to work because, I mean, it just gives people who surround me like the incentive to help me out.
Right.
I think it'd be a good investment, that $500.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. All right. So you're kind of using this creative recruiting channel. Have you used any of the traditional, like, I don't know, ZipRecruiter or whatever to try it?
Yeah, I'm on ZipRecruiter.
That's been successful?
So I haven't really interviewed anyone yet just because I haven't been home. And like, but I've had a lot of people apply. I need to talk to my dad more about creating like a really good like job listing. So that's something I need to get around to. But yeah, I've been on ZipRecruiter and pretty much, a lot of word of mouth.
Okay. All right. I know we've got just a few minutes left. I want to shift gears to the college decision,
Yeah, of
right? We
course.
talked to lots of young entrepreneurs who are doing really, really well, and they're like, should I go to college? Should I take a gap year? Should I just go pro in business? Walk me through how you thought about that, 'cause obviously you decided to go.
Yeah. So, well, I guess coming from an area where like literally everyone goes to college, it was kind of hard for me to kind of turn that down. But at the same time, I do believe that there's a lot that can be gained from college. I mean, the social aspect is great, the connections are great. And I guess something that I kind of like about being away is that, I mean, I'm 19, I plan on owning a business my whole life, but the opportunity to learn how to remotely run a business at such a young age, I think really gives me a good opportunity to come out of college being a pro at it. And, by that time, I'll be able to expand. I won't ever need to feel the need to go run jobs myself. So being away kind of forces me to learn that.
Okay. Yeah, that's really smart. Yeah, actually being away from Chicago. Yeah, 'cause if you're there, you can always be like, "All right, I'll handle the job," right? But now
Exactly. It
you
wouldn't.
can't. There's no safety blanket of just I'll handle
Exactly.
it. Yeah, that's great. And then but one thing you didn't say about college is it's a great place to learn, right? So would you and I don't I'm just
Yeah.
curious, like, is it you got connections, you got a network, you got the social piece. Are you in the business school, or I don't know if Michigan State has a business school, or?
Yeah, we have business school. I'm not in it. Like I said, I'm not the best student. So I'd rather put my time towards actually running my business than working on academics in order to get into the business school.
Okay.
But I mean, I am in one business class that I find very interesting, but other
Okay.
than that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, my one recommendation, actually, Keller, is that there are at universities some very smart people. And,
Absolutely.
it might not be in a class, but I made this mistake myself. I didn't use the university resources to the best I could. Is I suspect if you reach out to them and say, "Hey, I have a $150,000 business, and I see you're an expert in marketing, or I see you're an expert in automation, or whatever their expertise is," I bet you'd get 20, 30 minutes of their time, and it won't feel like a class. They'll just be there trying to help you, and that'll make the price of admission well worth it. So that's like a, they were just really amazing people at the school I went to, and I was just too busy goofing off. And I look back and I'm like, oh man, I really should have taken advantage of like all that expertise and wisdom in a certain place. And there's people who aren't just academic professors, they're people who built businesses who came back
Yeah.
to become teachers or professors. And you could probably They could be really, and they've got connections too, so they could be awesome resources. So,
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
I've never thought about that, but that's very smart. I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, there are so many professors who are, they're obviously they're professional teachers, but they're also professionals in their industry, and that's why they're teaching. So, I think that having the opportunity to sit down one-on-one and learn from them would
Yeah,
be
I
very
mean, it's
beneficial.
yeah, it's kind of like, you haven't really had to do it sounds like a lot of cold email marketing, but I
No.
suspect if you made a list of all of the badass professors at Michigan or adjuncts and just send out a note, "Hey, I'm going to do five a day," and you reach out to all of them. I suspect it'll be in a return on investment positive type of
Yeah,
investment. So that might
totally.
be one way to make college, obviously the social stuff is great, but that might be another thing that you can do. That would be fantastic.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah,
now
to your
that's
point about
great.
the cold emails, I've been trying to start that up a little bit because I actually heard that on one of the podcasts.
Yeah,
So
I
I
mean,
think
I
it's a good
think,
idea.
yeah, Sam and Sean, I think, talked about it on My First Million, right? Like, they're
Exactly,
pulling,
that's what it was.
I thought Sam said, like, you're an email away from the most powerful people in the world, right?
Yeah,
And I
he
think
did.
that's like a great insight. And again, like, being a high school student and an entrepreneur is a secret weapon, but being a college student is also, the sad reality is as soon as you graduate, you're just another adult,
Exactly. That's why I'm
right?
trying to get everything I can out of I'm a college student and I own a
Yeah,
business.
you really got to take advantage of that, 'cuz everybody's
Yeah,
rooting for you right
totally.
now, and when you're out, they're
Right.
just like, "Oh yeah,
Yeah. Go figure it out.
you're
Yeah,
another
exactly.
grown up like all the rest of us," right? So
Yeah.
yeah, no, definitely take advantage of that. Okay, I like so you're thinking about I like the way you're thinking about college. That makes sense. And so it sounds like a lot of it was sort of like that was a thing that everybody did in your local area, and you're like, "I guess I should just go and do that." Did you ever
Yeah.
consider not going?
Yeah, I really did. And it's honestly, that's just been like that's been something that's like really been on my mind lately, like whether or not I should stay here. I mean, I've made all these great friends, and like my mom has always told me, she's like, listen, Keller, like you can come home and work anytime, but you have 4 years of your life to go out and experience college. And Keller, I don't want you to regret dropping out. So, you know, I thought about it. I mean, I roomed with like a really good friend from home. And to be honest, like if I wasn't rooming with him, like I probably wouldn't have even come here. Cause there were like all summer, I was like 3 weeks before I was supposed to leave, I was just like, so not in the mood to go. I did not want to go at all, but yeah, I'm glad I did.
Yeah. You know, you built this remarkable business. I'm curious, like, I don't know if you've got like a 5-year plan, but where do you see it going? Are you the next Brian Scudamore, 1-800-GOT-JUNK kind of mogul, or like where do you see the business going?
I want my business to be, by the time I'm done with college, obviously I want to have, I'd love to have between 10 and 20 crews. And I guess I don't really have a timeline for this, but I guess the end goal would be for my company to be known nationally as the company you go to for gold standard service. And not just like moving, jerk, but if you are moving, no matter what, every single service you could possibly need, you call my company and we offer gold standard service. I want every single person in the U.S. to know that.
Okay, awesome. Give, you know, for those listening, you know, can you shout out the website, any social handles? Like where should they come to learn more or maybe enlist your services?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's interested, please feel free to check out lakeshore-hauling.com. We're also on Facebook. You can find us at Lakeshore Hauling LLC. And on Instagram, at just Lakeshore Hauling. And then also, my phone number is 847-444-9657. That's definitely the best way to reach me. But yeah.
Okay. Keller, give him that phone number again.
That phone number is 847-444-9657.
Okay. I love the fact that you gave your phone number. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of folks talk about customer support and service and gold standard. And then you're like the owner of a good-sized business who's like just text me or call me, right? I think that's
I'm a real person too, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Last question for you.
Yeah, of course.
Other entrepreneurs are listening to this, you know, high school entrepreneurs. What advice would you give them? I think a lot of folks are kind of sometimes scared by the idea of starting something, and then they see you and they're like, oh, maybe I could do it. You know, what would you tell them to just sort of give them some encouragement to get going?
I would say to every single high school entrepreneur, you are one decision away from absolutely changing your life, and don't let people who don't know what they're talking about discourage you. When I started my business, I didn't tell a single person besides my parents about it. And I waited for them to tell me. And the reason I did that is because if I went around telling everyone I wanted to start a moving company, they would have just said, oh, you can't do that, you know, whatever. Like I said, you are one decision away from changing your life, and you should absolutely make that decision.
Unbelievable. That's the pod.